We begin the current daf Mesach the Sukkah daf Tezvav. We begin on the top of the Yamed. The Gemara begins a new Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah. And the previous Mishnah is discussing the halachas of the schach of the Sukkah, specifically when it comes to creating schach out of boards. So the Mishnah begins. Tikra, a roof. Now, generally, when we use the terminology of tikra, of a roof, we mean to say that we're using planks that are at least 4 tefachim wide. So the Mishnah tells us regarding such a plank, She'enele maziva, which, so you have a roof made out of these planks that are 4 tefachim wide. However, there is no plaster on them. It's not like roofed as a regular roof. You have those type of planks, but they're not connected with plaster. So now Rabbi Huda says that, actually he says, a machlikis between Bisham and Bishil regarding this halacha, this would be kosher, and how would it be kosher for schach and sukkahs? So Bishami say that if a person wants to sit underneath that roof to be mekayim his mitzvah sukkah, so let's say he has some type of a porch, and he has this roof made out of these boards that are 4 tefachim wide, but it wasn't plastered like a regular house. So Bisham may say that mefakfik, what you have to do is, there's two stages what you have to do to make it kosher schach. First, you have to take it apart, shake each piece, and then v'noitel achas ben time. Then, after you did that, you take one out of the pieces of these boards out from where it is, and in that place you put kosher schach. And the Gemara will explain later on why is it necessary to do both of these processes to make it into a kosher schach. What are the two problems that are inherent in this sukkah with this schach of the boards of 4 tefachim wide, that you have to shake each piece and also take one of them out and put in kosher schach instead of that? Ubishilim, they say that no, mifakfik, either you go ahead and you shake each piece, which that would be a rectification of the psul of tasa b'leimena asoy, which is that since this roof was made, it was a roof, it wasn't kosher schach, hence you have to first go ahead, now if you have this porch all year round, so it might be kosher schach, but it wasn't made for that, so you have to go ahead and shake each one, and now reactivating it, doing a new maisa to make it into schach, but you don't have to take out one of the pieces and put in a kosher schach in place of that board, because actually that board is kosher schach. And that's because this is Rabbi Huda, who we're quoting in the Mishnah, who he's explaining the Machlekes of Misham Bisil this way, that as we mentioned on the previous daf, in the previous Mishnah, he holds actually a sukkah is kosher with boards that are 4 tefachim wide, and you could cover the entire sukkah with boards like that. Which, that's according to the interpretation of Rav. According to the interpretation of Shmuel, the Gemara will explain his opinion, how that fits well with that, because he holds that even Rabbi Huda would agree that boards that are 4 tefachim wide actually are puzzle. So it would be difficult for him to explain how Rabbi Huda would be saying that it would be enough just to shake the boards, hence making it into tasa that you're making and not min asli. But even if you do that, it's not kosher schach according to Shmuel's interpretation of Rabbi Huda, and therefore the Gemara will have to explain his opinion how that will work by just shaking it. But however, at least according to Rav, for sure that's the understanding, by just shaking it, that's good because you're now reactivating it, creating a new asiyah, and that's kosher schach, even more than 4 tefachim wide. So either you could do that, or go ahead, don't shake the pieces, just take one of them out and putting in kosher schach instead of that, and that's enough because that is also making a tasa, because you're creating a new asiyah. When you took it out, there was space. It wasn't kosher sukkah. Now you're going ahead and putting in the kosher schach. You're putting in one thing. That's a creation of the asiyah. That would be enough. So either one of the two processes. Not like Bishama, who said you need to do both, as Rabbi Huda explained, but just one of them, either shaking that's a new asiyah, by reactivating what was already there, or by taking one out and putting in something new, that is the new creation of the schach. So although everything else was there from before, but since it's kosher schach, now by putting in the new thing, that is the completion, that will be a new asiyah. That's what Rabbi Huda holds, that this is machlokes Bisham Bishil. Rabbi Meir Aimer, he argues, and he says, no, noitel achas mebein time. You have to take out, you don't have a choice. You don't have to do both, and you don't have a choice. Like neither like Bisham or Bishil, the way Rabbi Huda explained. Rather, you take out one of the pieces from these boards that's in between, and you don't go ahead and you shake it. And the understanding is that actually shaking it is not going to be enough. And that's why it's clear why he says you have to take one piece out. That's because Remeir's Lishitasa, again, like we mentioned on the previous mission, previous daf, that he says you now go ahead and make a sukkah out of boards. And however, when you take one of the boards out and you put in kosher schach in its place, then the sukkah is going to be kosher. Now, that's obviously difficult, especially according to the opinion of Shmuel, which is mentioned later on, David Zayin Mabez, that schach is pasul, just with 4 tefachim of schach pasul will invalidate the entire sukkah. So how is the sukkah going to be kosher? By taking out one of the boards and putting in kosher schach in the middle. Fine, so that might be kosher. But the rest of it, all these boards are far tefachim wide. Just having even just one border far tefachim wide going across will invalidate the entire sukkah, because then you're not even attached from this kosher schach to the walls on the side. So how, especially according to that opinion of Shmuel, would we understand what Rameh is telling us? So in that, Rashi gives two options. Either you could explain, like we explained in the previous daf, that you have it, the boards going all the way to the middle, and then in the middle you have these two kosher areas of where the boards would be. You have these two pisalim, two kosher schachs, which, although that you're only going to have the minimum amount of what a kosher sukkah will be, however, the rest of the sukkah will be exactly 8 amas. Hence, we'll consider those non-kosher schachs of the boards, because again, Rameh holds boards of 4 tefachim wide of not kosher schach, as if they're doifen akuma, as if the boards are continuing along as if they're part of the wall instead of being part of the roof, until you get to the place of the pesel, and then that's where you'll be able to be yetzi yechiv of the sukkah in the middle, and it will be considered like they're attached from the walls through the principle of doifen akuma. Or another version, Rashi tells us, is that Shmuel could hold like a different opinion of Rav, which is also mentioned later on, regarding a schach pasul, that actually the halacha, although that what we're saying is that the halacha would be like Remeir, that is actually the boards that are four tefachim wide are schach pasul. However, although you can't sleep underneath that, it will not invalidate the entire sukkah, whether it's on the sides or whether it's in the middle, until it's 4 amas. And therefore, these boards, although they're actually schach pasul, but they don't have enough together to create a psul in the sukkah until they're 4 amas. So that's why these are the two options that Shmuel would be able to explain. The opinion of Remeir, what's it going to help if you're going to take out one of the boards and instead of that put in kosher schach, but you still have the problem it's not connected to the walls. So either you do it through the Deif Nakuma, and thereby it's you see the walls going till there, or you don't have a problem by having the boards four tefachim wide, because no matter where they are, if they're not going to combine to a total area of 4 amis, that would be like the opinion of Rav, that's not going to be a problem of invalidating the sukkah until it would have that total share of 4 amis. So now the Gemara asks to explain the different opinions mentioned in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Bishil, we could understand the opinion of Bishil. It seems like there's three opinions. There's Rabbi Hudo, in explanation of Bisham Bisil, and then we have the opinion of Remeir. Now, according to Bisil, that he said you could do either one or the other. You could either do pikpuk, which means to shake each piece, or to take one out and put in kosher schach instead of that. So we could understand his opinion. That what would be his reason that why this sukkah is possible is because of the psul of tasa, that you should make the sukkah, but not min asay, but not from something that was made in an invalid state. Or, for example, something that was made to be a house and not for a sukkah. And because there is no shame, there's no name of sukkah on it. And therefore, now you have to go ahead and rectify that. So you could do either one of the two approaches. You can either go ahead and shake each one, so that's redoing it. Or by actually doing it, by taking one out and putting in the new piece. However, it sounds like Beis Hillel are not concerned with what's called Gezeiras Tikra. They don't have a concern of covering a sukkah with boards that are four tefachim wide. And they're not concerned that if we let you to sit in such a sukkah, you're going to say, hey, wait a second, what's the difference between the house, my house, and this sukkah? They're both made out of the same boards, they're so wide like houses are made out of. They're not concerned with that. And therefore, the only concern you have is tassel and also, and that you could do it either one of those two approaches. And that is, imefakfik avilu maisa, either by shaking the schach, you'll be doing a maisa, or inait lachas bein the time of it by maisa, or taking one out and putting in a new one. That is an action that's now completing the sukkah, because you took one out. That will also be a new maisa to make tasa, that you're doing, you're making the sukkah now. However, the Gemara's question is, it'll be shamai, but according to Beis Shammai, that requires both of them. You have to shake it and take one out and put in a kosher schach, my time ayu. What is their reason to require both? If they're concerned about this problem of then one should be enough, like Bisol said, that to create an asiya would be enough even to just do pikbuk about just shaking the schach. And if the problem is that they're concerned about this making a sukkah out of schach, that are, the boards are four tefachim wide, and that, because then you might come to actually sit in a house, and therefore they say that you cannot sit in the sukkah that are made out of these type of boards. And that's why we could understand why pikpuk, just shaking it wouldn't help, because who cares if you're shaking? Yes, even if you initially be making such a sukkah, it wouldn't work because that boards are far too wide. But then menaitel achas ben a time sagi, so fine. So pikpuk won't work because that doesn't help, because you're still stuck with the same boards. But however, the other option of taking one out and putting in a new one, that takes care of both. That takes care of, it's a new asiyah, and you're also going to be getting rid of that pasul schach of the board and putting in a new kosher schach. So why do they say to do both? So the Gemara says you're right. Lo'olam mishum gezeiras tikkur. The reason is why he wasn't enough for him to do pikpuk is he is concerned about this gezeira of a roof that you might come to sit in a house if we allow you to use boards that are four tefachim wide, and hence it's considered pasul schach that if it's four tefachim wide. But v'hachi karmi, this is what Beis Shammai was actually saying, that afa pishim efakfik. Even if you go ahead and you do what Beis Hillel says you can do, because he holds you can do either one of the two, of shaking each piece, on that Beis Shammai said, no, even if you do that, inoitel achas b'men the time in. It's only if you additionally to that take one of the pieces out that then it'll be a kosher sukkah. Eloi, but if not, it won't be. In other words, what Beis Shammai was essentially saying is that pikpuk doesn't work. It only works if you take one out and put in a new kosher schach instead of that, which it will accomplish both. It will accomplish that you're doing a new asiyah, so it's not going to be a problem of tasavim and asli. And also then you'll get rid of the problem of gezeiras tikra, because you're going to be putting in kosher schach. You won't have any more that schach pasul. Now this, the Beis Shammai said, mefakfik, and to take one piece out, what they were saying was that, look, pikpuk doesn't work. You also have to take one out. You don't have to do pikpuk at all. You just could take one out. But we're just telling you, if you do pikpuk, like Beis Hillel says that will work, it won't work. You have to do that. And then if you're doing that, to additionally do, take one piece out. Now, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that is the interpretation of the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, that Beis Hillel holds, look, we're not concerned about Gezeiras Tikra. There's only a problem of Tasav and Asli, so you could do either one of the two. And Beis Shammai says, no, we're concerned about Gezeiras Tikra. So, look, you want to do pikpuk? Fine, but that's not going to work. It's not going to be enough. Because although that will rectify Tasav and Asli, but we're also going to have the problem of Gezeiras Tikra. So anyways, eventually we're going to have to take one piece out. If that's the machlokes, eim seifa, let's look at the end of the Mishnah. The third opinion, Remeir, he says that noitel achas b'men time. He says, look, the only option you could do is you take one piece out, avolo yefakfik, but you can't shake it. It's not going to do anything for you. But if that's the case, in other words, up until now we assumed that there were three opinions. Beis Shammai says you got to do both. Beis Hillel says you can do either or. And Remeir says, look, there's only one option. You have to take one piece out and put a new kosher schach, and pikpuk's not going to do anything for you. But now that we interpreted Beis Shammai as saying that, no, you don't have to do pikpuk and that and taking one out. It's just saying if you do pikpuk, then you have to do that anyway. But then Reb Meir Haina Beis Shammai, it comes out Reb Meir, which would not be the Pashup Shat to say that, especially since we usually pass like Beis Hillel, to say he's like Beis Shammai, that they're both saying the same thing, that essentially pikpuk's not going to work, it's not going to be enough, and it would be enough if you just take one piece out of this board and put in kosher schach in the middle. So how do we resolve that? So that the Gemara says, hachikama. No, actually what Remei was telling Rabbi Yehuda is, lo nechel ku Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel b'davazeh, that he was arguing on Rabbi Yehuda in the sense of that they don't argue on this, and that is Beis Hillel agrees to me that you're not allowed to go ahead and cover a sukkah with boards as they had this machlikis in the previous Mishnah, and pikpuk will not help. And therefore, yes, Reb Meir is Beis Shammai. But what he was telling Reb Yehuda is that it's not just Beis Shammai. It's Beis Hillel too. And that's why I just said that, look, pikpuk's not going to work. It'll take care of Tasav Lim and Asli, but you're still going to be stuck with Gezeiras Tikra, which Reb Meir says everybody agrees to, even Beis Hillel. And that's what he was telling Reb Yehuda in saying that, look, there's no machlokes. The final result of this shaila is you have to take out one piece and put in a new piece, a new kosher schach. It will not be enough with pikpuk itself. Now, the Gemara asks, based on what we just explained, that this is what Reb Meir was telling Rabbi Yehuda, then my kamash mon. So what is our Mishnah, this additional Mishnah coming to teach? That it sounds like that what this machlokes in our Mishnah is, you have machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Reb Meir. Are we concerned, essentially, in the opinion of Beis Hillel, who that's the final halacha, in Gezeiras Tikra or not? But then, that's what it's teaching. The Reb Meir is like Gezeiras Tikra that, oh, Reb Meir is concerned with this Gezeira of a roof. And hence he says you cannot use them. They're considered schach pasul. And therefore, pikpuk wouldn't work. Reb Yehuda less like Gezeiras Tikra and what? Reb Yehuda is not concerned about Gezeiras Tikra. So therefore, he holds a Beis Hillel that you could do pikpuk. That's enough. That will take care of the problem of Tasav Lehman Asli. And these boards are for Tvachim Wad, are kosher schach. But we already mentioned this in the previous Mishnah, the same achleikis. It's not like we learned in that Mishnah. We said, Mesachim ben Nesarim, the Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda says, you can go ahead and cover your sukkah with boards that are 4 tefachim wide. No problem. Remeya Isr, Remeya says it's Asr. Now, what were their machlekes? We already explained. That's their machlekes. Can you use boards that are 4 tefachim wide? Are we going to make Xeris Tikkur or not? So what is our Mishnah saying more, being Machadish? Rebbe Yehuda Anasi has to teach another Mishnah that we didn't know from the previous Mishnah. So, Amr B'chir Ba'aba Amr B'yechanan, he explains as follows. He says, actually, Reisha, the first half, which means, say, the previous Mishnah, is not arguing between Remeya and Yehuda regarding this Xeris of Tikkur. Actually, it's talking about a different case. That when they talk about, can you cover a sukkah with Nesarim, with boards or not? It wasn't related to this, how we explain the our Mishnah, which we had assumed was the explanation of the previous Mishnah, about Gezeris Tikkur or not. The Machlekes was regarding B'Nesarim, we're talking about boards that are not for Tvachim wide. So what would be the problem? Why would you not be able to use it according to that opinion? Because Mishupin Askin, we're talking about that the boards were smooth and they were fit for utility to use them. Now, what would be the problem with that? Umishum gzeiras kelim naguba. The machlokes they arguing are regarding, are we making a decree that if we let you use such boards that are smooth and have utility, that you might come to use a different type of board, that it's a kli that has a receptacle, which is generally what utility is, with something that has a receptacle, and that's why Remeir held that it's possible in the previous Mishnah. Because although that case, when it's a board, is pshuti kliyeds, which means to say it has no receptacle and hence it's not makabel tumah, so it's kosher schach, because the two criteria of kosher schach is that it grows from the ground and it's not makabel tumah, that would be the case. And it's not even for tvachim wide to have any gzeris tikra. Yet still Remeir in the previous Mishnah, when he says it's pasul, it's not because it's gzeris tikra, it's because it makes a different gzera. Because if we let you use this which has utility, you might come to use the general category of vessels that have utility, which is something that is makabel, that has a clay kibble, that has a receptacle, which is makabel tumah, which will then be pasul for schach. Whereas in the case of our Mishnah was talking about the gzera of tikra. Hence, there are two different Mishnayis, and they had to teach us two different machlekes. And the two Reb Meirs that hold that they're pasul with these boards are talking about two different halachas. Previous Mishnah is talking about less than 4 tefachim, but the problem is that they're smooth, and hence, since it's utility, then you might come to use the other types of kelim that have utility, which generally will have a clay kibul, which is mekabel tumah, and hence that would be schach pasul. And now our Mishnah is talking about a different halacha of just because you might come then to sit in a house, because it's 4 tefachim wide, and what's the difference between the sukkah and the house? It's the same thing, but there's obviously a fundamental difference is that one's a sukkah and one's a house, and it was the purpose of their construction, and that's why they made a different halacha with these boards that are 4 tefachim wide, even if they're not smooth and they have no utility. Doesn't make a difference. That would be the gzeris of tikra, two different halachas. However, the Gemara asks on this interpretation. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, the Amar that he says, we mentioned this in the previous Dav, that Sikha Bechitzin, if someone covers his sukkah with schach from arrow shafts, which are basically when you have an arrow, you have that stick that goes into the pointy part that points into the sticks into the thing that you're shooting at. So it depends what type of shafts you're using if they're going to be kosher schach or not. And that is, he said, Zcharim Kshera, if they're shafts that are male in the sense they have a protrusion that sticks into the metal piece, into the pointy thing that's the arrow, then that's going to be kosher schach because it doesn't have any receptacle, actually has a protrusion sticking out, so that's kosher schach. B'nekeva is psula, but if you use the female quote version, which it has a receptacle that actually the pointy piece has a protrusion that sticks into the wooden shaft that's going that's connecting with that, that's going to be invalid because it means it has a receptacle and that's a clay kibble, and a clay kibble is makabel tumah, and we can't use schach of something that's makabel tumah. Now, that was Rabbi Yehuda Merav's halacha. But what we see from his halacha is v'loy gaza zachar mot in the kavis. He didn't make a decree, which definitely if you're making a decree of not using boards that are smooth, because then you might use a keli that has a kli kibul. Most definitely, it would be inclusive of saying that you can't use the arrow shafts that are the male version, because then you might use the female version, which are very similar and just have one different component, which definitely would apply in the contrast of what we're comparing of a smooth board to a regular cup or something that's a kli kibul. and he doesn't make that decree. He lets you use the arrow shafts that are the male version and not the female version. So hachanami lo nigzer nisar meshupa not the kam. So most definitely, Rav Yehuda Merav would agree, not like the way the Gemara is proposing now, that you wouldn't make a decree of not using smooth boards, and that because you might come to use kalim, if something that's even more similar, he doesn't make such a gezeira. So again, we're back to the question, Elal Karchach. So by default, we have to say that Reisha Pligi Vizayas Tikra, that it must be the previous Mishnah was arguing, as we had assumed up until now, regarding a board that's four tefachim wide. And Vaseva Pligi Vizayas Tikra, and that means our Mishnah is also arguing about the same thing. So then, Vifligi Batatis Imni Lamali. So why do we need, again, back to the original question, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, to say two Mishnah is talking about the same Machlaikis about do we make Vizayas Tikra or not? So that the Gemara answers as follows. Seifa, the end of the, which means to say the our Mishnah, the end of these two Mishnahis, which are talking about the same element, is introducing a new component. You're right, they're really arguing about the same thing. But there was another part of the conversation that was being added on in our Mishnah. And that was because Rabbi Yehuda de Ka'ama le'Remeir, in our Mishnah, essentially Rabbi Yehuda was telling to Remeir, Amai ka'asat ben Nazarim. Why did you say that it's forbidden to use boards? Mishum Gzeres Tikra, like we discussed already, so to speak, in the previous Mishnah, that you were saying that, oh, you know, I can't, Remei is saying you can't use boards at Fort Tvachim Oid, because then someone's going to come to sit in the house. It looks like the same boards that cover a regular roof of a house. Now, and that is what we're just telling Remeir in our Mishnah, continuing the conversation. Hai svara le beishamehu de islahu. That is a theory that beishameh holds up. Ubeishil loy gazri, and beishil do not make such a gezeira. And we know that Allah is like beishil, so what are you saying that you cannot use a board that's far tvachim wide? Because a gezeira is ticker, if you see beishil is not concerned with that. But Amr Remeir, that's Remeir responded in our Mishnah, that loy nechluku beishameh beishil bedevazet. And that he said to Rebbe, it's not true. They do not argue about it. And actually, Beis Hillel agrees to what you're saying. Beis Shammai says, which is what I hold, that there is a gezeiras tikra of boards at four tefachim wide, and hence, in relation to what our mission is talking about, that pickbook would not work. One would have to go ahead and take a piece out, because actually this is schach pasul. Now, this was the second proposal. The Gemara, however, asks on this second proposal of understanding the necessity of both these mishnayos. So the Gemara says, fine, hanicha l'rav. That's a good answer for these two Mishnayos if you hold like Rav. Dama, as we explained in the previous das, he says, Machlekes b'sheyesh ben arba. He says the whole machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir regarding boards that are very wide is only if they're four tefachim wide. The Rabbi Meir is like Zeris Tikker. Rabbi Meir is concerned, you have such a wide board, that for the decree of the boards of the roof, which it looks like a house, and people are going to come to sit in a house. And hence, it's going to be pasul schach if it's far tefachim wide. Rabbi Yehuda less like gzeiras tikra. However, Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned for gzeiras tikra. He says, I don't care how wide the boards are. I don't make such a decree that someone's going to say that, look, they're the same as a house and he's going to come to sit in the house. And hence, it's going to be kasher schach. And according to Rav, we could then understand our Mishnah where Beis Shammai was saying in Beis Hillel that pickpock itself would be good. Because what are you concerned? We're talking about you made this tikra she'ina le'maziva. You have this roof of the sukkah made out of these wide boards, which generally tikra means that they're boards more than four tefachim wide. Now, what's the problem? If tasav le'min al-asli, so good. One of the options you can do is just do pickbook. You could just pick up the boards. Now, what are you going to say this gezeiras tikra? Rabbi Huda is not concerned, even more than four tefachim wide, according to the version of Rav, of gezeiras tikra. Hence, Beis Hillel, who he's going like, is not concerned for that. El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, the Amad that he says, B'she'ein behen arba machlekes, he says actually, in explanation of the previous Mishnah, that their whole machlekes is only when they're less than four tefachim. And there is where Remeir is saying that even less than that, between three and four tefachim, even there, he'll say that there's a gezeiras tikra, which Rebbe Yehuda says, no, that, less than four tefachim, there's no gezeiras tikra. No one's going to come to think it's a house. But more than four tefachim, Shmuel held in Rabbi Yehuda, who even though Rabbi Yehuda says there's no gezeiras tikra, but more than four tefachim, he would agree there is a gezeiras tikra. So they've recorded to Shmuel the way we're explaining our Mishnah now that our Mishnah is discussing the same gezeiras tikra. But according to Shmuel, everyone would agree, even Rabbi Yehuda, that there is a gezeiras tikra when there are four tefachim wide the boards. So seifa b'may pligi. So then what is the end? In other words, a reference to our Mishnah arguing about. It definitely seems like, as we're explaining, that when it says tikra, a regular tikra, we're talking about boards that are four tefachim wide, and however, what's coming out is that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that according to Beis Hillel, it's going to be kosher, these schachs that are four tefachim wide, and that's why even pickbook itself would help. Well, but why? Shmuel holds that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is gzeres tikkur when there's more than four tefachim. So how could he explain the basil that pikpuk itself would work? What does pikpuk do? Pikpuk just takes care of tas of lemon also, saying that you're reactivating, you're making a new asiyah. But if you're taking metal boards and making a new sukkah, that won't help because it's metal. And the same thing applies to boards of more than four tefachim wide. If they're pasul schach because the gzeres tikkur, what is pikpuk going to be helping according to Shmuel? So that the Gemara introduces a new insight into how to explain the Mishnah, which is going to be said according to the opinion of Shmuel. We're talking about bibitule tikkur kamifugi. Actually, what they're arguing about is to undo the problem of tikkur. Now, as Rashi explains, that Shmuel would answer you that, truthfully, that when the boards are four tefachim wide, and there was no roof here originally, it was an empty sukkah, you had just had the walls, and now you're initially coming to put up the schach with the intention of making a sukkah, and that Shmuel would tell you that you're right. Even Rabbi Yehuda would say that such a sukkah with boards four tefachim wide would be puzzle. And because we make a gzeres tikkur, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it's more than four tefachim. And the problem is because we don't want you to think that you could sit in the walls of your house and you're going to say, hello, what's the difference between this one or this one? They're the same thing. However, this case is talking about a different case. We're actually talking about that there already was a roof up. Now he's coming to do an action to undo the problem, to make it into a sukkah. Now that proves that this person gets it. He realizes that there's a problem of tasa v'loy min asli. You can't have something that was a house or that was made not for intention of being a sukkah. Now that's what Rabbi Yehuda and Meir are arguing about in our Mishnah. Would we still make the gzeres tikkur in such a case? In other words, yes, initially when you're making the construction, Rishmul says, Rameir and Mehuda both agree that there's a problem with gzeres tikkur. But when you're undoing, which means say you already had a tikkur, now you want to demonstrate that you get it, that there's a problem over here because of the gzeres tikkur, that they're four tefachim wide, and there is where that there's an option that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Mishil would hold, that now you could just either shake the pieces or take one piece out, because Marsav Rabbi Yehuda held in explanation of Bishil that Bat Labahachi, that would be enough to nullify the problem of Gzeres Tikkur. And that was, he would hold that, according to Bishama, yes, you would also have to take out one piece from the middle and put in Kosher Schach, because although through Pikpuk itself, by shaking the pieces, you're demonstrating that you're proficient in the halachas of Tas of Lemon Asli, we're still concerned because there are still boards at four tefachim wide, and person still might get confused and think he could sit in his house. So it's still going to be a problem. You still have to take a piece out. However, this is the chiddush that, according to Shmuel, what Rabbi Yehuda held in Beis Hillel, that no, by shaking the pieces, you're demonstrating that you get it, that this is a pasla ru, a pasla schach, because of the gzeres of tikra, and that's why you're shaking each piece. Now, there's no more necessity for making gzeres of tikra, because you get it. You realize that this cannot be mina osu, this cannot be a house, this cannot be made something that wasn't for the purpose of shade. You get it, and that's why you're shaking it. If you're shaking it, you're not going to think now, hey, what's the difference between this and my house? You know it. You're coming to do an action that's illustrating that. And hence, although, yes, these are boards that are used just like in the house, this person already gets it and he's not going to come to sit in the house. And therefore, you can keep the boards that are four tefachim wide. And we will not make, in this case, a gzeres tikkur, even though if you were coming to do the initial construction, we would say you can't make it with them because then you might get confused. However, on that, Umar Saver, but Remeir held that no, Bahochi loy batla, that no, that's not the case. And Remeir holds that still, there was not a machlekes between Bisham and Beis Hillel in such a case. And even in such a case, Beis Hillel would agree that there is a gezerah of tikra and that it wouldn't be enough with just doing pikpuk. And that's where Meir said that no, you still have to have nikla achas b'mein in time. You have to take one out from in between, and pikpuk will not help because that still will have the boards of four tefachim wide, and the person would still get confused and still think, what's in between my house and this? However, that's not a contradiction on Shmuel, because again, he's not explaining it regarding the initial construction, because there, you're right, Yehuda would agree and explain the Basil that it wouldn't be enough with just shaking if you were making it by putting on boards four tefachim wide, but since it's already up and shaking is demonstrating that, that's where that Shmuel will explain in Rabbi Yehuda that shaking itself would help. However, on that, Rameir would still say that no, Basil would agree that Sad Allah and Rabbi Yehuda agrees, that everyone agrees according to Shmuel, that there is a problem of gzeres tikkur when the boards are four tefachim wide. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the halachas of schach for a sukkah. So the Mishnah tells us, Hamakara sukasai, if someone covers over on his sukkah. Now, as Rashi explains, that what generally is used to construct anything that you want to hold up, let's say ischach or whatever it is, that you first have to have support beams. So such a person put up support beams of bishvudin, with spits made out of metal, ibaruches hamita, or the sides of a bed, which the Gemara will explain how is it that they're considered kalim that would be a problem, because we're obviously talking about objects that are problematic, like shvudin, like metal spits, or the sides of a bed where it would be considered a kli, again, which is makabel tuma. Hence, both of these would be problematic, either because it doesn't grow from the ground, or because it's a vessel and it's makabel tuma, which are not the two criteria that are necessary for a sukkah. So they're not kosher schach. However, the Mishnah tells us, im yesh revech beinein kemaisin, if you have the space between these metal spits, or between the sides posts of the bed, between each spit you have along the entire length of the sukkah, where in that space you're putting in kosher schach, then kasher, then the sukkah would be kasher. And the Gemara is going to ask, however, this is not a case of where you're having the kosher schach more than the pasul schach, you're just having the same amount. And the Gemara is going to ask why that be, at least according to the opinions that hold that you always have to have the majority of kosher, not just 50-50. However, that's the case that the Mishnah is explaining. If you have exactly the amount of the spits themselves, in between them, kosher schach, that would be a kosher sukkah. Now, the Mishnah ends with another halacha regarding the halachas of sukkah, of the schach, is hachaitit begdish, lasis lay sukkah. If someone digs out, which we already discussed this halacha in previous dafim, that if someone digs out in a haystack to make a sukkah, so by grama, by default, he's creating a roof. He didn't actually make the roof. That was actually what's called mina asoy. It was made indirectly. Then in the sukkah, that will not be a kosher sukkah because you have to have a tas, you have to make the roof, and he didn't make the roof. He just took away what was inside, and then you were left with a roof. Now the Gemara asks, by making an inference, where we alluded to this just before in the Mishnah, let's say our Mishnah is a refutation of the opinion of the Amori Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua. Ditma, because as we learned, there's the following machlokes. Poritz ka'imid, when you have the same amount of breached area as closed area. Now this is a machlokes regarding halachas of mechitzas, regarding partitions, walls on the halachas of Shabbos, which is, let's say there was a wall that was made out of boards that are three tvachim wide. Now between each board was left open a space the same amount as the boards themselves, which now that already will not be included in the halacha of love. But if it would have been less than three tefachim, we would view it as all one closed area. But now that it's three tefachim, which already cannot be included in love, and this continues along the length of the wall, that's what's called in halachic terminology, paritz ka'imit. The breached area is the same as the closed area. Now, similar to that would be l'chayra, the case of our Mishnah, which is you have the same amount of pasul schach, which are the shvudin or the aruches hamita, that's exactly the same amount as the kosher schach. Now, regarding that case, which we find by halachas of Shabbos, we have the machlekes where we have Papa Amamut. He says that's a kosher wall because it's enough to have the closed off area the same amount as the open area. But he says it's aser. No, you have to have actually more closed area than the breached area. It's not enough to be half and half, 50-50. Now, however, that seems to be refuted from our Mishnah, where our Mishnah seems to be saying clearly that it is enough to be 50-50, enough to be the same amount kosher as possible, the same amount closed as open. So that Amalacha Rav Hun Rid Rav Shua, he would respond to you that it's not a contradiction from our Mishnah. Because my kamaisen, what does our Mishnah mean to say that if you have the amount of open space between the metal spits or the sides of the bed of kosher schach, as it is by the non-kosher schach, it means benichnis v'yotze. It means to say taking in and taking out, which means to say that when we're saying you have enough space, the same amount as the spits themselves, to put into kosher schach, we mean that easily it could go in and out of the open space, that same amount of kosher schach, as you have of the same dimensions of the pasul schach. Now, that by default means to say that it has to be a little bit bigger than the spits themselves, because you have to be able to get it in and out. If it's going to be exactly the same size, it's going to get stuck. It won't be easily taken in and out. So from the fact that the Mishnah tells us you have to have that ear space of getting in the same amount as the metal spits, must be that it's getting in, it's going to be a little bit bigger, hence you can have more kosher schach by the virtue of the necessity of getting it in and out, because you already have the spits up, and that's why it's going to be kosher, according to Rav Hun B'Rei Rav Yeshua. But not because it's the same amount, actually you're going to have more kosher schach than non-kosher schach. Now, the Gemara continues on with Beis and asks, But what do you mean? You could be precise. And as Rashi explains, the Gemara's question is that the Gemara is assuming that what the Gemara had answered when it said that, oh, we're talking about that you have to be able to get it in and out easily, the answer was that because generally that is the case, because you can't be precise, and that means you have to leave at least a little bit more if you want to get in those same dimensions, and you can, it's not possible to be so precise, which the Gemara's question is, what do you mean? If somebody puts his mind to it, you could be precise. And yet still the Mishnah tells us that kamaisin, when it's the same amount, it's going to be kosher, but that's a problem for Avuna because that's going to be paritz ka'imid. And don't tell me that it's not possible. It is possible. That the Gemara says, then, no, Amar B'Ami, which there's two answers in the Gemara, he says, b'ma'adiv, that what we're talking about is that you're right, of course it's possible. But when the Mishnah said that it's going to be kosher, what the Mishnah meant to say was when you're not doing it exact, when you're leaving a little bit more space than there is of the spits themselves, which means to say that when it said the term kamaisin, it meant nichnas v'yaitse, because that is what we meant when we said that you're leaving space open. Generally, that's required, and hence that's what the Tana, the Mishnah, meant when he said that. He meant to say a little bit more, because that's what's necessary, again, according to Rav Huna, to say that you can have more kosher schach than the pasul schach. So yes, of course, it's possible to get exactly. However, that's not the point. The point of the Tana was to tell you that it's got to be a little bit more, and that's how Rav Huna would interpret it according to his opinion. And that's what they meant when they said kamaisin. It meant to say the ear space that you could easily get it in and out, again, having more kosher schach than pasul schach. Another resolution the Gemara brings in Rav Amar, he says, now, afilat tema b'she'ein ma'adif, you could even say that the Mishnah is not talking about that you added on more space. No, and even if it's exacting the amount of space, now that, but that's a problem for Rav Huna. And that Rabbi says, no, it won't be a problem for Rav Huna, because we're talking about that im hayin nusunim, if the spits, the non-kosher schach, were placed shasi, they were vertical, then noisnin, then you put the reeds of the kosher schach, ariv, you put it horizontally. And therefore, by default, if you wouldn't have the tops of, let's say, the bamboo stick hitting the top of the metal spits, they would fall to the ground. You can't have it touching their heads, got to go on top of that. Therefore, you're ultimately going to have more kosher schach than pasul schach, and that's why the kosher schach will be mevatel the non-kosher schach, because based on the principle of rife. And similarly, too, if ariv, if let's say the spits were going horizontally, then nice and chassis, then we put it vertical, and therefore, yes, it might be exact, but even if it's exact, the space will be exact. But that doesn't make a difference, because no matter what the space is, you'll be having the kosher schach going over the pasul schach, because it's going to fall down to the ground. And that's why it's going to be the majority, and that's why, according to Rav Huna, it's going to be kosher. Now, the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said that if you went and covered the schach with non-kosher supports, then if you have more kosher schach, or the same amount, depending which opinion you go like, then it's going to be a kosher sukkah. Now, one of the cases that were used to illustrate this halacha was oy baruch samita, or with the side posts of a bed, that which is non-kosher schach, then you're going to have more kosher schach than that non-kosher schach. Now, the Gemara says that, lema, let's say that from the fact that the Mishnah is considering the side posts of a bed, which is not the whole bed, it's just part of the bed, that misayeli l'Rav Ami bar Tav Yumi, that that supports what Rav Ami bar Tav Yumi had said, the Amar Rav Ami bar Tav Yumi, he said, sachacha bebloi kelim, if you cover a schach with worn out, torn pieces, rags of a garment, use that as schach, Pesula, such a schach will be pasul. Now, the Gemara later on explains that this is talking about a case of rags that are not even 3x3 squared. Now, so although now they're not makabel tumah, and therefore what should be the problem? This could be something that came from the ground, and you turned it into a garment, but since it's less than 3x3, it doesn't have the requisite of being makabel tumah, so it has both criteria. And that is the chiddush of Rabbi Ami bar Tav Yumi, that he says that since it originated from a vessel, it just got torn down, now it's a rag less than the requisite shear, that Rabbanan made a gezeirah and said that still, since it came from some of this mekabel tumah, we'll still consider it possible for schach. Now, that would be, it sounds like the Mishnah, our Mishnah is saying the same thing. Gizaruchei samita, although now they're not makabel tumah, because they're not fit for anything, they're not a bed anymore. So if it was constructed from something that comes from the ground, let's say made out of wood, then it should be kosher. However, it would make sense, our Mishnah, that's saying that's possible, like Rabami, because since they originated from a kli, from a bed, even though they're not that anymore, it's still going to be possible for a schach. And that the Gemara says, no, it's not necessarily a riot to him. We could explain this Baruch HaSamita in a different way. Could Amar Reb Chanan, Amar Rabbi, that he explains a Mishnah, Masechtas Kelim, which the Gemara will shortly quote, that regarding a case of when he comes to explain Ba'arucha, it's either talking about the Arucha, the side post of the bed, Vishtei Karayim and two legs with it, or Bektzar Vishtei Karayim, or it's the short edge of the short post of the bed and two Vishtei Karayim and two legs. That's the way he explains the Mishnah Kalim, which we're going to quote shortly, what context that is. So Hachanami here also, when our Mishnah mentions Ba'arucha, it doesn't mean just the edge of the bed, the long side of the bed, that side. It means also Vishtei Karayim has also the two legs with it, which again the Gemara will shortly explain what is that fit for. I mean, in other words, we're not going with Rabami's halacha because it originated from a kli. Maybe we would say it's not like him. And Bibloy Kalim would not be a problem. Here the problem is because actually it's still fit to be a kli, because when we say Arucha, we don't mean just the long side of the bed. We actually mean that and two legs coming out from it, which will explain why that's a kli, or b'ktzara, that we could be talking about a short edge of the bed, which we're talking about that's either by the leg of the bed or by the head of the bed, which is the shorter side of the bed, v'shtei krayim, with two legs sticking out of it. So therefore, it's not a riot to Rabami. We could say that actually the Arucha Samit is still valid as a kli, hence it's mekabel tuma, and that's why we pasul for schach. Now, the Gemara asks, Heiche Irmad Reb Chanan Amar Rabbi, where do we find his halacha in that context that we're borrowing what he says for Arucha, that it means together with two kraayim, and therefore it's still valid as a kli? Ahaditan, this is based on what's mentioned in Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. We continue at the top of Tezayin Manav, where the Mishnah quotes the following machlekes. Tanakam, the first opinion says, Mita mitama chavila. A bed can contract tuma if it's complete, if it's one, if it's together. Umitaharas chavila, and it could also only be purified if it's all together, and therefore if it became tuma, the tvila will not help it if you're taking piece by piece. It's only if you first fix it, and then it's one, and then you go ahead and you immerse it, only that would help. It has to be complete for it to be considered a kli, both for tuma and for tahara. Div Reb Elazar, that's the opinion of Reb Elazar. And they argue, they hold mitamas evarm, it could contract tuma even different parts of the bed, umitamas evarm, and could become tar, it's also considered utility as a kli, even just separate parts. Now the question on that was, my nihu, what is that? How could just separate parts of a bed be considered utilitarian, that you can go ahead and consider it kli, not together? On that, Amar B'chanan Amar Rebbe, which is the term that he used, which we're borrowing to explain on Mishnah 2, that what we mean is, let's say, Arucha Shtei Krayim, we're talking about the long side of the bed with two legs sticking out of it, or Katsara, or the short part, which is by the head or by the foot, the Shtei Krayim and two legs sticking out of it. Now, which the Gemara asks, Lamai Chazir, so again, we're back to the question, we want to know, which we'll understand on Mishnah 2, what is it fit for? Why is it considered a Kli? But the Gemara answers, L'mes Mechinu Aguda. What you could do is you could lean it against the wall. So you lean it against the far edge, you lean it up far from the wall, like the length of the, like the width of the bed, and you put two pieces of wood coming out, which are these kraayim, from the bed sticking out into the wall, which will take the place of the head of the bed and the foot of the bed, ulamesa v'layu, and also to put on this thing, umishta, and to sit on it, umishta ashle, and to hang on it, you can go ahead and put ropes and weave it around, and then it's going to be fit to sit on it, and hence it will contract the tumah of medrash, since it's fit to be sat on, and that's why it's considered kli de mekabel tumah, and that's why it's going to be pasul l'schach, because what you could do is, again, if it's the long part of the bed, so you have then the width part, but how is it standing? You have these two sticks sticking out of it, which are the kraayim. You don't have the sides of the bed, but what you could do, you have it leaning against the wall, so you're going to have the long thing, and the wall will be the other side of the long, and you'll have two pieces of wood sticking out, so it's going to be leaning, it'll be standing, and then you can weave rope. That will be the Aruch Samita, will be considered its own utility. It'll be a kli that someone that has Tumas Medrash could sit on it, and hence it's going to be considered a kli. And similarly, in the context of that Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim, where if you have the short part of the bed, you can do the same thing by leaning it and having the length of the bed that way. If you're having just the foot, the foot will be, let's say, that short part, and the wall will be the long part. And again, you have the longer stick sticking out, taking the place of the length of the bed, which will be fulfilled by the leaning of the bed. And ultimately, that's the pshat that we could say that it's not a right Reb Ami, Bar Tuviyomi, that it's because it came from a kli. But even if it's now just the long part of the bed, it itself could be considered kli by the way we just described it, and that's why it's going to be considered tzchach pasul, and that's why you have to have more, that at least the amount of space, or according to Rav Huna, even more than that, a little bit more, to be able to have the tzchach kasher overpowering and being mevatel the tzchach pasul.